Psalm chapter 1. Chapter number 1.
Bible says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's go ahead and open in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for Psalms. Lord, this is one of the foundational Psalms, Lord, and we look at this and we think of how much grief and how much heartache and how much trouble folks find in their lives just by not following this simple six-verse psalm that we see right here. And Lord, I pray as we look at this and the other passage of Scripture tonight, that you would help us to get on board with you and, Lord, get with your program. And Lord, I pray for your help tonight. Lord, the Spirit's filling, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible's talking about blessed, or blessed is the man. I hope you want to be blessed. First. You know? Who in their right mind would say, yeah, I want to be cursed. I want to have a cursed life. I hope you want to be blessed. And the Bible tells us here how to be blessed. He starts by saying, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly will gladly lend their counsel. Gladly lend their counsel. Godly counsel is ungodly counsel. People that are lifted up in the eyes of the world, these so-called experts. And I remember, I don't even know if she's still alive anymore, but there used to be a marriage expert. And I think she was divorced three times or four. Put her on a pedestal. Oh, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, I think her name was. And oh, boy, she's the greatest thing since sliced. She's got relationships figured out. Really? Really? You know, but the world lifts these people up. The counsel of the ungodly, the Oprah Winfreys of this world, the Dr. Phils of this world, these talking heads. And the Bible says, you know what, you want to be blessed? Just don't even follow those counsel, the counsel of those people. Don't think about following the counsel of those people. It says also that, don't stand in the way of, you know. You hang out with the crowd, feather flock together. Happens every time. Every time we get young people together as a group, the kids that are on the edge, so to speak, will find the kids that are on the edge. The rebels will find the rebels. The godly kids will find the godly kids. 300-400 kids will gravitate and they will find their kind in very short order. It's amazing how quickly it happens. The Bible says you want to be blessed. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Man, there's plenty of scorn out there in our culture and society today. I'll talk of the blessed man. The Bible says his delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. God's got an in crowd, he mentions here in the Bible. It's a be part of. It's not the in crowd you were in high school was not a good crowd, most cases. But God's got a crowd he talks about in the Bible, and we're going to look at some of those things. First one is the person, man or lady, that wants to be blessed is going to be a person that is in his word. In his word. We see that in verse number 2 here. Let's look over to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms chapter 119. When we're in God, not to forget Him. Verse 16 of Psalm 119. I will delight myself in Thy Word. When we're in God's Word, we will not be forgetful of God's Word. The Bible talks about in the book of James, continuing for a forgetful hearer. And that comes about when we continue in the Word of God. Verse number 28 here, this is Psalm 119, full verse after verse after verse about the Word of God. We're just going to touch on a few highlights here. Verse number 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. You ever feel like that? Man, you're just loaded down, burdened down, weighed down, struggling, under the weight, under the impression. My soul melteth. Now, this is not talking about somebody that's consumed too many calories, of extra weight. But this is a person that's burdened down with the cares and the difficulties. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Here we see the psalmist not only talking about not forgetting the word of God when he's in the word of God, but finding strength in the Word of God when he's in the Word of God. Look down to verse number 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Trust God, you're standing on firm, secure ground. And you will be. This world changes. The more that we will find and be reproached for standing on the Word of God. Mark my words. If this thing keeps traveling, the course it's traveling on right now, it's going to become harder and harder to be a Christian. If you take a stand for the Word of God, it's going to become more and more difficult. Yet, that's where we need to be. Look over to me, 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort in my affliction. Think about the afflictions that David ran into. All right? Think about it. Somebody, you know, after you for a short period of time or something like that. David spent years on the run. Years. And he wasn't hanging out at the Hyatt. And he wasn't hanging out at the Hilton. All right? In some Habakkuk's hideaway somewhere. And I mean, he was out in the mountains and the meadows and the woods and the caves and the valleys. And I mean, he was out in the sticks for no reason other than doing what was right. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Saul hated him. Saul was jealous of him. Saul envied him. Saul hunted him down. He was Israel's most wanted for a long period of time. I can imagine him thinking to himself, did not the prophet anoint me to be king? Did not Samuel pour the oil on my head? Did not he tell me I would have... What's this all about? Am I in heart? Why is there a step between me and death? Do something about being afflicted. And what he says here is this. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Do you understand something? When that was penned, probably about, I would say, 60 to 70% of this book wasn't even penned. Just had a fraction of the Word of God. And he says, man, what I have quickens me. We got a complete thing now. How much more? Verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Hoped in thy word. Boy, there's hope to be found in the Word of God. Psalms chapter 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Man, it says over and over and over and over again how important the Word of God was to him. And like I said, he didn't have for the and bought five scrolls of the Pentateuch and stuffed them in his pocket in his robe and carried them out there. And while he's running from Saul, he didn't have that luxury. We have more of the Word of God in the Bible on our shelf in the most state of disrepair this man had when he was inspired to write these precious promises. And yet, what do we find ourselves? When our soul is in heaviness and it's melting. Oh, man. I wonder who on Facebook can lift me up. I wonder who on TikTok or Instagram or bellyrubber.com. I don't even think that's a thing, okay? Just being facetious, all right? And yet the Word of God, the whole Word of God that we have, and yet this man was saying, I want to be one of those people that is in the Word of God. When I'm in trouble, I want to be in the Word of God. When I have problems, I want to be in the Word of God. When my soul is melting, I want to be in the Word of God. When the adversaries are reproaching me, I want to be in the Word of God. Look at me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 2. What's another part of God's in crowd that you and I should be in? Number 2, in prayer. In prayer. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do we bear one another's burdens? I've told the story about when Barrett killed his bull and Tony came up the hollow and offered to carry that backpack, and I turned him down first. My pride grabbed a hold of me. I turned him down, and we walked probably about 15 minutes more down that gully, and my legs were tired, and I mean, it was like Nick when we were up getting firewood. He wasn't picking his feet up. He was stumbling and bumbling around, tripping on twigs and things, and that's the way my legs felt. And finally, I thought, phooey on the pride. Brother Tony, you asked to bear my burden. Here, take my burden. And I was so thankful for it. I thought, why am I carrying my pride and the burden. I'm like, phooey on the pride. I set it off to the side and the burden. I gave that to Tony, and he bore it. I was so thankful. And we bear one another's burdens through prayer. That's what God tells us to do. Look with me to 1 5. First Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I don't know who said this, a preacher. It may have been Brother Paul at one time. And I wrote it down in my Bible. And he said, like an ever-present cough that tickle in your throat, and it just, I don't know, I'm allergic to something. But every once in a while, happens maybe about 3 times a year, something will get up my nose, and I'll just have a sneeze. I mean, I'll sneeze maybe times over the course of 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Drives me nuts. You know, I don't even know what it is, but something will fly up there and just, and I'm like, good night. My wife's like, good night. Because I usually don't sneeze quietly. When we think about that ever-present cough, pray without ceasing. Like when you just can't control that cough. Oh, that we had a prayer life that was like that. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse number 16. God wants us to be in His Word. God wants us to be in prayer. Confess your faults one to another. Well, that's something we don't practice much in 2022. Confess your faults one to another. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What he's saying there is if you have a problem with something, and here's one of the reasons why I believe we've drifted away from this. This confessing of our faults one to another and praying for one another. Because if you confide a fault in somebody, like, hey brother or hey sister, I'm struggling with it. Would you pray with me on this? Here's why we've shied away from it. Brother Nick, you know, I love peanut M&Ms. I ate a whole box today. I did, right? I did. Dollar box from the dollar store. Man, will you pray for me that I'll resist that urge to eat peanut M&Ms? Amen, brother. Amen. I'll pray for you, brother. And this is no indictment of Nick, but here's what happens. I walk away from sharing that with him, and he turns around to Johnny and says, Johnny, did you know Pastor has a problem with peanut M&Ms? Well, we just need to pray for him, brother. It's all in love. Let's just pray for him. That's why we don't like to confess to one another, because we've lost our trust of one another. All right. Now, I know some things are meant to be shared, and sometimes we share prayer requests for the whole group. But listen, don't put your Sherlock Holmes hat on when somebody says, I've got an unspoken request. Oh, I wonder what that is. What could be so diabolical that they don't want to talk about it? I wonder. Let's investigate. And then we get together, we say, hey, what do you suppose that unspoken is? It's unspoken for a reason. Because it's a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know what it is. And neither do I. All right? But let not those little hiccups hinder us from praying for one another. Hebrews 10:25. I was listening to a message just within the last hour and a half. I was listening to a message. And it was from back east, so they were in the church service a couple hours early, and And so I was catching it live. Yeah, and I'll get there. Hebrews. I still don't have this Bible broke in yet. Good night. I passed it. I know I have. Huh? Yeah, this verse should be memorized, but I always goof it up. There it is. Part of it's memorized with me, but the other part of it isn't. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. All right? What he's saying is we need to be in church. We need to be in church. I was listening to this preacher preach this message, and he was talking about they had something last night, some type of church gathering, get together. A couple of people were speaking at it. A couple of men were speaking at it. And he said, if I'd had Ray Lewis here last night, the building would have been packed. If I'd had Michael Jordan here last night, the building would have been packed. He said, but instead there was two people here that were not famous in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes were far and beyond those people. And they were the ones speaking. And I had staff members not here. I said, oh boy. Woo. He was a little riled up. I said, I would not want to be in that staff meeting tomorrow or this morning. You know? And I have no idea what the event was last night, but I know one thing. If I was on his staff, I definitely would have been wishing that I had been to whatever that event was last night. Paul says we need to be together, assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Otherwise, there was people finding excuses to miss church back in Bible days. All right? But exhorting one another, that's what our attendance does. We encourage one another. And you may sit there and say, well, nobody misses me, or it's not that big of a deal, or he's preaching on the family, or this, that, or the other. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Nobody else may miss you, but I do. I do. And I'm sure there are other people that do as well. And the Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Boy, the day is approaching quicker than we can even imagine. And the Bible says so much the more we need to be in attendance. Attendance is to encourage one another, exhort one another. You know, the town is watching our attendance. Your neighbors are watching your attendance. A guy drive by today is the same guy I talked to right out here in the parking lot. And he said, I've been noticing what's going on there. Still hasn't come. But he's been noticing. In fact, when he drove by, I saw him look to see. We're out here fighting this stupid tarp that got blown away by the European wind. We're trying to get battened down the hatches and stuff. And by the way, Sylvia, thank wherever you fetched the thing from or whatever happened. I have no idea. But I don't know where that blue tarp was. It Ben? Who was it? Which one of you guys? You. I don't know where that other blue tarp came from. There was two tarps. Yeah, there was two tarps on those trusses. Now we have three. One's tucked up underneath. I don't know where the third one came from. Yeah, I have no idea where that thing came from. One of the neighbors, Willie Earl, donated it, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, we're out there trying to. Yeah, that wind was goofy. Goofy. I said, now I know what it feels like to be a sailboat. In his word, in prayer, in attendance, Exodus 35, all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Exodus 35, verse number 20. Here's some other members of God's in crowd. Folks that are in prayer, folks that are in attendance, folks that are involved. Verse number 20, Exodus 35. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. Otherwise, they left Moses' presence. They went back to their dwelling places, which were tents. And the wolves that had a willing heart and a willing spirit bring back offerings for the work of the tabernacle. And it came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets. Okay, those weren't iPads. Okay. All jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair. Cracks me up. We go from fine linen to goat's hair. You know? All in just a few words. And red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and spice. And oil for the light, and for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Otherwise, Moses said, what we're going to do, we're going to build this tabernacle for the Lord. The people walked away from that. God stirred in their hearts, and then they brought back all of these things, these various things. You know something? Not everybody could bring all of those items. There probably wasn't one person in that bunch that had in their tent badger skins and red ram skins and purple thread and onyx stones and everything that's mentioned in this list. There probably wasn't one person in that congregation that had every one of those items in their tent. But what they did have, they were willing to give of it to the work of the Lord. They were involved. It's interesting there. I believe that God, the Bible says, that all congregation of Israel departed, but not all the congregation came back. Because God makes it a point to notice and draw our attention to those that had a spirit that was willing and a heart that was willing. Those are the ones that returned. The whole congregation, the Bible does say, all the congregation departed, and all the congregation came back, everybody with offering. No, there were some people that whose heart wasn't stirred. There were some people that were indifferent. Some people that were uninvolved. Some people that said, whatever. Whatever. Why do we need a tent to worship the Lord? There was part of that crowd that was like that, but there was part of that crowd that were involved. Look over to Titus chapter 2. Back to the New Testament. Titus chapter 2. But speak thou of the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave. Doesn't say in the grave, it just says grave. All right? temperate means even keeled. All right? Not willy-nilly, not wishy-washy, not Charlie Brown. Not up one day and down the next two. Down 2 days and up the next one. All right? Sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Otherwise, sound in faith, sound in charity, which means love, sound in patience. It's amazing to me how it works. General rule of thumb that I saw through all the years of nursing home ministry, the people that have the most patient are oftentimes the most impatient people. They have no job to go to, no house to clean, no kids to tend to. I ministered 20 years in the nursing home. None of those things. All their meals are taken care of. All their meds are brought to them. All their house cleaning is done. All their toilets are plunged and cleaned and all that stuff. But yet, some of the most impatient people I ever met in my life were the people in the nursing home. I used to listen to them. Man, I buzzed that buzzer. My light's been on for 9 minutes now. I used to preach it there. I said, you remember when you were a mom, you had three or four little ones around the house, and this one needed this, this one needed that, and this one needed this done, and that one needed that done, and And I say, yeah. And these nurses out here are taking care of 30 of y'all in this hall. And you get all rankled because your buzzer and your light was on for 9 minutes. You're not the only person in here that needs cared for. Oh. You know? It's like, Patience. Our patience wears thin, like our hair, the older we get. All right? Bible hammers on the men there for a while, parks on them. Then he gets on the ladies, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Wow. That is a huge statement. They be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What are they going to teach? That they may teach the young women to be sober. Okay? I mean serious-minded. To love their husbands. To love their children. It's interesting there. You would think that a young woman would not need instruction to love her husband. Or to love her children. But yet God says the older ladies need to teach the younger ladies how this is done. That should arrest our attention. You know, in this self-centered society we live in, we've all seen it. We've all seen it. Here's a good example. All right? Good example. You ever seen a kid come in to church? It's cold out. It's winter time. And they got no coat on? You know, we all grew up in a different era. We grew up in the unconnected era. All right? I grew up in the era where mom would say, I can't say everything that mom used to say. Okay, she had mom wisdom. But I'd go to leave to go do something. Make sure you got your hat on, your coat. Keep that hat on so you don't get sick. If you got gloves, if it was cold enough to wear gloves, make sure you keep your gloves on. And praise the Lord, she never gave me a scarf. You know? But she used to give me instructions, and I didn't always follow those instructions. And usually when I didn't follow those instructions, the results would be exactly what she said they'd be, and I would get... But, you know, what we... A few generations have passed since then. And it's stunning. It's stunning what we see nowadays. It's like, they let you out in that? I was joking. We went up to get wood the other day. And Nehemiah was just chomping at the bit to go. So when I got back over to the house from running some errands and doing some things and checking some things off the list, he had on insulated pants, insulated camouflage pants. I don't know where he got them. I think he got them at the Hub or something. And I was like, wow. And I'm like, I didn't know it was going to be that cold up in the mountains, but at least he's dressed warm enough. Well, that lasted about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and he shed the insulated pants. And what he had on underneath was his pajama bottoms. I said, son, we're not going to Walmart. The older women need to teach the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. One last passage. We've looked at in His Word, folks in God's in crowd are people that are in His Word, people that are in prayer, people that are in attendance to the house of God, people that are involved. And I didn't give you the point, the fifth point there in Titus, instructing, instructing. The older men instructing the older women instructing the younger women. Instructing. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Somewhere along the line of my studies, I came across the idea that salt can lose its effectiveness. Salt can lose its savor. And if you're to look at that ineffective salt, that savorless salt, you would discover, if you could scientifically test, you'd discover it's got the same chemical makeup. And it's been a long time since I had chemistry or biology, or I guess it'd be chemistry. I don't remember what the chemical symbol for salt is. What? There we go, NaCl. Man. I know. Keith was sitting on the homeschooling this morning. Probably on one of your bags around the ranch there. NaCl. All right? It was still test out as NaCl, even though it's lost its effectiveness. But they say that when that happens, it's because it's been corrupted by an outside contaminant. Something has watered it down. Something has changed the potency of it. And that's the way we are as Christians. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, but we're not supposed to be savorless salt. When we allow the world to contaminate us, we'll lose our savor. And then the Bible says, how is the earth going to get salted if all the Christians are savorless? Sends forth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Under the foot of men. And A says, ye are the light of the world. All right, he says, we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And Jesus says if we are how we should be as a Christian, we'll be like a city that's set on a hill, rising above its surroundings, easily identifiable, even in the darkest time, it's lit up. Remember the first time I came up here, we drove through the dark, came up over the pass, all that stuff, looking for Chuck's subdivision. We saw the sign 8 miles of Chalice, and I don't think we could see Chalice quite then at night, but we went a little bit further, and all of a sudden, all these lights. I'm like, well, that must be Chalice. And at night, it looks a lot bigger than what really is. And then we spend a lot of time looking for his subdivision. And Jesus says, like a city that's set on a hill, when we're the light that we should be to the world, we can't be hid. You want to know the world's so dark today? Why Satan is running roughshod across society? Because Christians aren't bright enough. Christians are not shining the light that we used to shine. Whether it's the fact that there may be fewer, I don't know, I'm not a statistician, or the lights are dimmer, or there's too many putting it under a bushel. And he says, near do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel. All right? If you light a candle and put it under a container, what happens to the light? It goes out. Number one, you can't see it. Number two, it goes out. But on a candlestick, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. I think lumens has become a big thing, big marketing thing. Lumens. Oh, look at this flashlight. Look at this. It's a phoenix. Phoenix. Yeah, they spelled it funny, but it's a phoenix. F-E-N. Is it I-X, I think? Phoenixed. 2,000 retina burning lumens. Here, let me. And we're men, so we shine it in each other's eyes to show them how bright and powerful it is. Like, check this out. Oh, thanks, buddy. We'll see spots for the next 6 hours. Glad you got a good flashlight, moron. You know? And when I think about that, and actually, in Indiana there, Randy, you would like this next time you ever get back in the neck of the woods. I think it's still open. There's a store that sells nothing but flashlights. It's called the Flashlight Store. And that's all they sell. I mean, little flashlights, big flashlights. Bright flashlights, specialty flashlights. Color-changing flashlights. Rechargeable flashlights. Cheap old flashlights. They even got them plastic things you put the square battery with the springs on the top. You know? They have them there. Pastor Caleb, I think Colton and Nehemiah and Austin and Logan. We spent probably 2 hours walking through that bigger than this church. I mean this, the auditorium right here. It's not as big as this. It probably ends about where one of Beth are sitting. About 2 hours in there roaming around because everywhere you looked there was some other flashlight you'd never seen before. And you know what? We as men, you can never have enough flashlights, it seems. But nowadays, because of how they market it, now we get to brag about the lumens. Oh, this is X amount of lumens. All right? Like, I tell you what, like if I turned this puppy on and you were by the cell tower, it would probably reach you. Not the cell tower, the TV tower out on that mountain. I don't know if it would shine that far. But they claim like it'll shine so many miles and this, that, or the other. Oh, that we were more concerned about our spiritual lumens than we were our flashlight lumens. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's Jesus saying there? We need to be part of the in crowd of influence on this world. We need to be salt and we need to be a light. And we need to let that light so shine. Not, he doesn't say let your light shine. Or let your light glow. You know. He says, no, let it shine. Let it so shine. You ever been to a lighthouse? And you understand why they had lighthouses and why they came up with lighthouses. And I tell you what, if you were out on that dark sea and you were searching for port, you'd be glad to see that lighthouse. That beacon just strobing on out across the seas. Because you know near there, that gives you a point of reference, a landmark. Maybe the harbor, the bay you're looking for, maybe safety and security is there. Maybe it's something you want to avoid and not get shipwrecked on. Whatever the reason, that thing's there. But let me just tell you something. When they build those things and they design those things, they don't put a AA battery up there. Okay? Like, wing, wing. Oh, yeah. Wing. They design that thing so it goes way on out into that water. And you've got to be lighthouse type of Christians that are letting our light so shine before men. Why? Because that's all part of what God wants us to be as Christians. He wants us to influence the lost so that they see what we're doing and glorify the one we're serving. That's not me saying. It's up to us to do it. Are you part of His in crowd? Father, we thank for this tonight, this reminder tonight. Oh, that we be people that are in prayer and in Your Word. Be people that are influencing the folks around us, our friends and neighbors, our co-workers, people in our community, instructing one another. Lord, I pray.